study is, I'm still getting it. Are you guys getting it? All right, good. The study is in one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, and that's Romans chapter 8. So if you have your hard copy, go ahead and open to it. If you have your e-copy, is that what it's called? I'm not even sure that's what it's called. Your electronic copy. Then open to Romans chapter 8. Starting next week, we'll break it apart. But this week, we're going to look at the big picture of Romans chapter 8. And before we read any of the specific words, we're going to practice some words. Okay? All right. First word I want you to practice, I don't think it's going to take us long to practice this. I think we're really good at this already. Some of you are even better at it than others. Here's the first word. It's the word no. Okay? So practice it. I'm going to say it and then you say it. No. Man. Some of you actually have facial expression with that. Like you didn't even have to say the word and I knew you were saying the word no. All right. Let's just try it, and I want you to say it with a little bit of force behind it. Maybe you don't get to do this very often, you know. Maybe it's been since you were a toddler and you were in your terrible twos. Maybe that you said it with this much affirmation, but I want you to say no. I'm going to say it, and then I want you to say it. Ready? No.
No.
Wow, that's pretty good. I just want to test something. Men, I'm going to say it, and then you say it. No.
No.
Ladies, I'm going to say it, and then you say it. No. Wow. Did you guys feel that? Did you feel that in the room? Somehow that gender thing, it has a lot of power, right? It's that word no. And I want you to say it. I want you to think of it. I want you to feel it today. No. All right? That's one of the words that we're going to emphasize. Here's a second word. And this one, maybe your face doesn't go in this direction, but it goes bigger. It goes broader. And it's the word all. I want you to, as you say it, think of what that all is to you. Okay? I'm going to say the word, then you say it. All. Wow. Did that feel good? Yeah. To me, no felt good, but this is in a different way. That no is no. 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 That all is, it just seems to open up everything. Right? So we get that all, or we get no, and then we get all. And here's the third word. Kind of follows in suit of that first one, but it enlarges. It's not the word no, but it's nothing. Okay? I'm going to say it, then you say it. Nothing. I'm going to say it again. Nothing. All right. Now I want you to look at whoever's sitting next to you, and I want you to put those three together. No, all, nothing. I want you to go ahead and say that to whoever's close to you. You could say it to me, Deb. Okay, no, all, nothing. Let me give you the great news about Romans chapter 8. And it's summed up at a verse in the beginning, a verse in the middle, and then a verse at the end. Here's the first verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. I don't want to put a lot of dialogue with that. I just want you to let it sink in. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Can you read this with me? It's right there. It's right there. Okay. So now there is no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. Whew. How's that feel? Like, what does that run through your brain? It's the first piece of good news. No condemnation. No condemnation. Here's the second piece of good news. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And even when I say these references, I know that a bunch of you are going, ah, that sounds familiar. Romans 8, 28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. I grew up King James only. And we know that God causes everything. It was shortened to this. All things work together for good. Right? All things. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. All things work together for good. And then at the very end of this, like, perfect chapter is Romans 8, 38 and 39. And I don't know how you felt about the first two. No condemnation. All things work together for good. But listen to this. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries for tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from God's love. If you want to know what the good news is, there is no condemnation. All things work together for good. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Let me spend just a couple minutes kind of filling in the gaps from that verse at the beginning, that verse in the middle, and that verse at the end. This chapter is going to be honest with us, even though it tells us there's no condemnation and all things work together for good and nothing can separate us from the love of God. It talks about the real struggles that go on. In fact, I don't call them struggles. I call them battles. And Romans chapter 8 is going to talk about the real battles in life, the real struggles that we go through. And it's going to be honest with us that sometimes those battles we win and sometimes those battles we lose. Here's the first battle. Battle number one is living with an imperfect me, an imperfect self. Here's one of the real struggles. And it frames it in a lot of different ways, a lot of different wrestling matches, a lot of different boxing matches, life versus death, spirit versus sin, love versus law, new nature versus old nature. It's telling us there are a lot of wrestling matches that are going on. There's a lot of struggles that are going on. I'm going to go through a series of confessions to you right now, okay? Wow, Steve, I'm really killing it today, aren't I? Every one of my S's sounds like S. Okay, we good? Here's my confession. I'm going to start with one, and I'm going to go through a list of them. I am not perfect. Go ahead and let it out. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for whoever did that. So collectively we could get there. I am not perfect. You ever hear somebody say that? I am not perfect. A lot of times I wonder, okay, let's quantify this. Like, you're not perfect, but how close to perfect are you? Because I find that when people say, I am not perfect, they're pretty much saying, I made a mistake here, but otherwise, I'm pretty good. So, let me take the confession a little bit farther. Not just, I am not perfect. I sin. I don't know how popular this word is. I don't know that it's ever been really popular, but in the climate that we're living now, boy, anything that moves us towards any kind of evaluation, even in my own life, or just an overall evaluation of the world that we live in, gets pretty, you know, it gets bumped up against. So I'm going to say this: not only am I not perfect, I sin. And somebody said to me, Tim, when you talk about it, you always talk about anger and you always talk about driving down the road and somebody cutting you off. And this is why I have no bumper stickers on my car that say, I'm a Christian. If I had one of the fish symbols, it probably would have a boxing glove on, right? It goes broader than that. It goes bigger than that. This isn't, I'm not perfect. Well, I'm pretty close, but I just blew that. But and I kind of got caught in it. So, but otherwise, it's not. I sin. Boy, any judgment that comes down about another person, guess what that is? That's sin. Any pulling down of another person? Well, did you hear so-and-so? I was at Dick's Sporting Goods, and an old friend who I hadn't seen in a long time came up next to me and talking about a bunch of things. And I said, well, I'm going to get going. And he said, hey, before you leave, did you hear about so-and-so? He said this, don't tell anybody. Which I'm sure at the very beginning somebody said, don't tell anybody. And now, do you know what? If I told you about that, that would be wrong. I'm not perfect. I sin. Can I take it a step further than that? Some of you are going, please don't, Tim, please don't. I'm not perfect. I sin. I'm a sinner. Wow. Pastor that I love speaking to or listening to is a man named Tony Campolo. He said, if you knew everything about me, you wouldn't want to listen to me. But if I knew everything about you, I wouldn't want to talk to you. Romans chapter 8 has these unbelievable thing of no condemnation. All things work together. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But surrounding it is this battle that's going on. I'm not perfect. I sin. I'm a sinner. Here, let me add to the confession. Oh, man, some of you are going, please, Tim, don't do this. I'm not perfect. I sin. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by God's grace and love. Whew. Sometimes I wish we were Victory Baptist. That would have just blown the roof off at Victory Baptist. They'd be jumping up and down right now going, you go, Pastor Tim. I'm not perfect. I sin. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by God's grace. That's one of the battles. Here's battle number two. Living in an imperfect world. Battle number two is living in an imperfect world. And in parentheses, I put that, including an imperfect me. You're going to find this sandwiched right in the middle of Romans chapter 8 is this incredible honesty, not just about us, the battles we go through, the struggles we go through. But it even says this, all of creation groans. And we'll deal with it a little bit more as to what that groaning is. But all creation groans. All creation anticipates this day where it will be restored to God's original plan. Living in an imperfect world, including an imperfect me, means life can be unfair. Have you lived life long enough to know this is true? Life can be unfair. In fact, one step further, life can be cruel. who sitting here this morning hasn't felt both those unfair and cruel? People are starving in parts of the world while other parts throw out food every day. You tell me that's not unfair. We had prayer this morning and just getting updated on the situation in Haiti that now 35 people at least have lost their lives. Protesters out. Most of those lives that were lost were in conflict with the police force. There's this cycle of violence in a country like Haiti that just keeps repeating itself. Why do you think people are protesting? They're protesting because they don't have food to feed their kids. They don't have food for themselves. They don't have a possibility of earning a living. Haiti of Haitians are below the Haitians' poverty level, which their poverty level would be shocking to us. Innocent people are getting hurt every day. People all over the world are walking into a doctor's office not feeling good, then told they have a life-threatening illness. They have an illness that's going to alter their life, alter their world. Sitting in this room now are people who lost their parents when they were just children. And it's not just one, it's multiple people. Some of you, when you hear about the Heavenly Father and God has a purpose and plan for your life, want to say out loud, but you don't. You keep it in your heart. Where was God and why did He put me in the family He put me in? Yay, Tim, no condemnation. Yay, all things work together. Yay, nothing can separate us from the love of God. But they weren't there when I was 5 years old and felt the abuse of a dad. That doesn't sound churchy, Tim. The battles of living with an imperfect me. The battle of living in an imperfect world, including an imperfect me. When I come to a church or I open up a Bible or somehow I read and I hear about no condemnation and all things work together for good and nothing can separate us from God. And that brings me into another battle, another struggle, not just one inside of me, not just outside of me, but now there's this spiritual one between me and God Himself. And here's the battle it brings up. It's me trying to understand a perfect love. It's understanding a perfect love in an imperfect world, including an imperfect me. Remember last week we talked a little bit about agape love and distinguished it from any other kind of love. And I put three words to it and I want to pull it from 1 Corinthians 13 where it was talking about me loving in this way. And now I want to pull it into Romans chapter 8 where it's talking about how God loves me. And I want to remind you of those words, okay? Agape love is a commitment. Get this. Agape love is a commitment from God to me. Him loving me even though I'm imperfect and living in an imperfect world. He's committed to me. Not Tim, I love you if you do this or if you don't do that. It's Tim, I love you completely and I'm committed to you. Remember, that was one of the words that we used, being committed. Not just a feeling, not just a warm, fuzzy feeling, I love you. It's, I'm committed to you. Not only it's a commitment, but it is an action. God sent him, I'm not just committed to you, but I'm committed to moving in your life. I'm committed to moving and working in your life. Yeah. He's saying that to the adult who at 5 went through that abuse. He's saying, I was committed to you. I'm committed to you now. I was committed to you then. I'm committed to moving you. Here's the third word we use, because we could have used a bunch to describe agape love. It was the word sacrifice. So in this big picture, I wanted to take you through those vital promises. No condemnation. All things work together. Nothing can separate us. But I want to tell you in the big picture that we're going to deal with some battles, some struggles. And some of those are inside of us. Some of those are outside of us. Some of those struggles are even going to go on between us and God Himself. Because that's the truth. And God only talks to us in a true way. But I love that He says this. In those struggles, know that I'm committed to you. In those battles, in those struggles, know this. There's an action that I'm taking. Know this, that there's a sacrifice that goes on. Said in the battle, some you'll win and some you'll lose. There's an old saying that talks about losing battles but winning the war, and it fits so perfectly in Romans chapter 8. Here's the winning the war verse in the big picture. Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who could ever be against us? Gives us these big promises, then He tells us the honest truth about the struggle. But He writes this every day, end chapter in our life. If I'm for you, who can be against you? Take these promises and pull them into your heart and wrestle with them, struggle with them. But here's the bottom line. Winning or losing the battle isn't the end. If God is for us, who can be against us? It's God shouting out this rhetorical question. Hey, let me ask you. If God is for you, who can be against you? Knowing the answer is no one. Nothing. At the very beginning this morning, I asked you to say three words with me, the word no and all and nothing. But I want to add a fourth word to that, and I want you to take these four words over this next month and allow God's Holy Spirit to press them deep into your heart, okay? And the word I want to add to that is the word if. So let's practice if. I'll say it and then you'll say it. If, I'm going to go a little further. If God is for us, who can be against us? Can you say that? If God is for us, who can be against us? If. All right, let's put them all together. You ready? We got if, we got no, we got all, and we got nothing. Did I just say that? We got nothing. It's not a good way to end a Sunday morning. We got nothing. What'd you get today? We got nothing. Maybe some of you are used to saying that. I don't know. Are you ready? You ready to go with me? If, no, all, nothing. Let's try it again. If, no, all, nothing. All right, I'm going to pick on some of you. So sit up straight. The straighter you're sitting, the less likely I'm going to pick on you. Slouch down. I dare you. I dare you to slouch down. Chris, would you stand up? What does if say? What is if? What is the what's the verse? Can you remember it as close as you can? If God. Whew, good memory. Thanks, Chris. That was good. You did good. Did you see the panic in his eyes there for a second? If. I know what he was thinking. If only I could remember whatever Tim's asking me. Jim Binning, stand up. Yeah. Yeah, that was the one I was giving you. That's the one I was giving you. I said, Jim, stand up. He goes, no. All right. What does no represent? You don't have a clue? Well, sit down. Bonnie, would you stand up? What is it? The brains of the operation. No what? No condemnation. Yeah. Yeah. Let's clap for Bonnie. Start taking those memory pills, okay? All right? You got it? All right. If God is for us, who can stand against us? There's no condemnation. Right? No condemnation. Some of you are starting to sweat really big time right now. Joy, would you stand up? I saw Joey Sled over there right there. Joy, tell us what all. Amen. All things work together for good. Those who loved him, called according to his purpose. And we'll 2 weeks from now, we'll be looking at that. All right, now you're worried. Some of you are looking down reading because it was verse 38 and 39. You don't have to do all of that. You don't have to do all of the verse. Just give me something with nothing. Okay? Cassie, your dad's got his hand and he's pointing down at your head like that. Yeah, he is. So I'm not going to pick on you. I'm going to pick on my mom. So June, would you stand up, please? Wait. Could you stand up? I don't get to heap paint on her very often, but I know she hates this. So go ahead and say it loud. Nothing. See, this is part of that blame game. You made me forget. Ah, okay, all right, I got you, Mom. What is it? Nothing. Okay. That's good. That's good enough. I just want you to take those four words with you. And over the next 4 weeks, let's just walk through these. If, no, all, nothing. I'm telling you, if you walk through this next 4 weeks with those words, at the end of this month, you're going to know those four promises inside and out. And then you're going to be able to use those on a daily basis in your life. And then the people that walk into your world that talk about the struggle that's going on in their self, the struggle that's going on in this world, the struggle that's going on between them and God, you're going to be able to say, you know what, I got a really good word for you. I got a really good promise. I got a really good chapter. Deal? Four words. Just four words this month. Good? Just four words. We got them right there. If, no, all, nothing. Let's bow for prayer.